Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Cam, welcome back to the UK.
Yay!
Does it feel like coming home a little bit?
Yes, 100%. I made promises that I was going to come here first.
Yeah.
Maybe at the Roundhouse. I can't remember where I did it. I'm making good on it. When we were planning the whole promo and stuff, I was like, I need to be there. I want to do like a little acoustic, tell everyone the stories at a small. So we're cozying up at the Tabernacle.
Yeah, which is a beautiful venue. It just suits you down to the ground.
Thanks.
Kind of like the UK.
Yes.
Because I feel like there's this real love affair between you and the UK.
I feel that way, so I hope the UK feels that way. I hope it's reciprocated. It feels reciprocated. Like, I mean, it's been 10 years of us dating, you know? So there's something about
playing the long game.
Yeah, right. Something about the way, I know I'm going to get a ring out, the way that fans here love lyrics and the concepts and the story framing and the tones that I love. Like, there's just, I'm like lacing my fingers together for people that can't see me right now. Like, there's something just this is not lip service. Like, I really believe this. There's something about whatever I'm doing and what you guys are wanting to hear that just feels like we're made for each other.
The new album is called All Things Light. It's out today. Congratulations on this.
Thank you.
When we got the first single, Alchemy, I didn't know what to do. and I mean that in the best possible sense.
Yeah.
Because obviously we're quite open here on Absolute Radio Country and in the UK in general about kind of the parameters of country music and what's accepted and, you know, all the different kind of sounds and influences and styles. And you, because you're so kind of loved here, you get even more leeway, I think, than if somebody, you know, if there was an artist who'd just been releasing traditional country nonstop and then they came out with something, we might be a little bit like, But because you've always kind of kept us on the back foot a little bit in a great way.
Yes.
Like, Alchemy came out and I was like, I loved it when I first heard it. And then I found, like, over the course of the next few days, it just, like, growing and growing and growing. And it was one of those things, like, I would wake up singing it. Like, I'd be going about my business singing it. And I was like, well, that's clearly gotten under my skin.
I think it's fair to say that my favorite thing to do is to trust my instincts and my internal, you know, compass. And to me, it all makes complete sense.
Right.
And I remember thinking, okay, I'm glad that my work and my contributions to Cowboy Carter are coming out. It just so happens they're coming out first, because I feel like maybe that's like a tiny clue for everybody.
Yeah.
Because then I probably will surprise everyone with what I'm doing next, you know?
Yeah.
And so it came from such a real personal place that it was just like, it felt so easy to make. And what I'm talking about, you know, like, becoming a mother in a pandemic and basically trying to sew together a little patchwork of beliefs. Like, I wasn't raised religious, but I need a spiritual framework in times like these and becoming someone who now I'm responsible for building a world for my child, you know? So I needed everything to be in service of that message.
Right.
So I couldn't really play, well, does it, is the banjo in there? You know, like, I couldn't really afford to do that because I needed this to be so genuine. Otherwise, you can't be hearing from me something where I'm saying, it turns out that there's God in me and I believe there's God in you. You can't say something like that if there's any hint that I'm putting on any kind of air.
Yeah, or that, like, you're faking it.
Yes, or that I'm trying to fit in some way, because I'm not trying to fit in. I'm trying to say something very genuine that is, you know, what I feel like maybe more on the folk Americana side of country. And then traditionally, I think, like, there's a lot of fantastic country songs from the past that have done this as well, where, like, you're saying some, you know, Kris Kristofferson, you're saying some really heavy, beautiful truths, and how it gets delivered is important. So
Well, every time something pushes the boundaries, it's always, and whether we're talking about Patsy Cline or Johnny Cash or, you know, any of these people who now are just considered stone-cold country icons.
Yeah.
We forget that or didn't know that at the time, people were like, what are you
pushback.
Doing?
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
And so I think that one of the reasons why what you're doing now is connecting so well, even though, you know, it took a minute to kind of go, wow, this is sonically so different, is because it is so authentic and it's so true to you.
I hope so. That's what I am trying to do. And I mean, you know, same thing with Dolly, too. I feel like anyone that takes on, plenty of country musicians take on trends and sounds from what isn't like traditionally in the box. And I think.
And also themes as well.
Yes.
I mean, you know, Loretta Lynn singing about the pills.
Oh, yeah.
And many other things.
Yeah,
that she
people
sang
were
about.
Having none of it.
No.
But now we can't get enough of it. So
yeah, exactly.
I think there's something to it that if you're. I want to say it's, I feel like braver, but I think there's also this part of motherhood where it's just, I do not have the time or the energy to care about anything besides what is so in line with who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing
here. Yeah, you're
not
chasing anything.
Yes. Yeah, there's literally a lyric in Everblue. I'm done chasing what wasn't meant for me. That is absolutely what I'm doing, and that is what I hope I feel like when I put out the most me, what I get in return, which is what I get from the UK all the time, is people who are the most connected to me when they show up to these shows. Like, I don't need somebody that's a fair weather. Like, if it's not for you, that's great. Mm. I want the people that are like, I'm crying because I've been going through this and I needed this and thank you. And like, sometimes it's right now and sometimes it'll be 10 years from now and you'll be like, oh, now I know what she was talking about because now I'm going through it and now it's for me.
Yeah, you get things when you need to get them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You brought up a few things that obviously we want to talk about. Cowboy Carter in there. I mean, what a glorious thing to be a part of. But also, it kind of, everything that happened around that ties into exactly what we were just talking about in a lot of ways is like this pushback that, because hands down, obviously, it is an enormous success.
Yes.
And aside from being a commercial success, I always just kept talking about how it's basically a history lesson.
Yes.
As well, and that it references so many things and addresses so many things and lifts up and celebrates so many parts of country music that either you know about or you don't, and either is fine. But if you don't know about them, at least be open to them. And we find out that a lot of people are, in fact, not open
well,
to
the
that sort of
maybe
thing.
I don't know that it's really so much of the numbers that it feels like. I just think whenever something is massive, like we've been saying, it's a hot touch point, and so people will be loud about it. So I feel like it's not necessarily, I meet so many people that are obviously, because I'm me and I was part of it, I meet a lot of people that are loud about loving it.
Yes.
And it just depends on what, you know, just like politics or whatever, what room you're in, what people feel comfortable
of course.
Throwing at you.
Of
but,
course.
Yeah, it's
but
a,
we can't
it's a good
ignore
mix.
The kind of huge celebration and the huge storm
around
it,
yes,
which
yeah,
altogether makes it such an important kind of cultural moment that we're having. So because songwriting for you has always been a lane that you're in, and you've written for loads of other people, you know, whether it was like Sam Smith, Miley Cyrus, and Beyonce. So that's always a lane that you have had. So how did this Cowboy Carter thing come about?
Yeah, it was, I feel like, the people that I write for, it always ends up being like a super perfect timing and everyone just is wanting the same thing at the same moment, which is feels so rare. So to me, it feels like it hasn't happened that much. But this time I had post-pandemic, postpartum, by myself in the studio. And I'm kind of like, I have a sibling that's, my sister's 18 months younger than me. So we're really close. So everything in my life kind of got tuned up to being aware of like collaborating, compromising, cooperating, and being in the studio alone meant all my little like sensors that were up about that normally are like managing other people's emotions and all that kind of stuff was just for me. Mm. So I had like 100% sensitivity to what was coming through. And I know this sounds so cheesy, but you are like a vessel when you're songwriting. Like stuff comes through you. I do not know how or where or what, but it just comes.
That ties back into the spiritual thing you were talking about, right?
And I'm listening to this inner, you know, well that I'm sort of pulling from. And while I'm getting into that, I'm writing stuff for All Things Light and stuff that I don't know quite where all this is going to land. And that was literally the exact same time I got called, like, oh, would you like to go in for a session for Beyonce? And it was like, what a crazy, I couldn't have written that.
Yeah.
Like, whoever's doing the plot line for my movie right now is killing it.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely watching this miniseries on
Netflix.
Yes. And then as a result, I mean, I think it's probably as a result, even though they haven't said it's a result, like the Grammy Awards and the nominations and all of that sort of stuff. And then the Grammys have now said that they're kind of splitting the country album category into best contemporary country album and best traditional country album, which I think is long overdue anyway, perhaps, or...
Yeah, not, I mean, I guess you could think of it in so many ways where I'm going to speak for as an American, I guess, that we developed genres for recorded music while we were a segregated country. So there's no avoiding like how it was created around race. You know, it just is. There's whiteness and there's race records. It was built that way. So there's just after effects of all that. You can't just outstep history. There's, you know, we can't just like, oh, surprise, we're a brand new country now. Like, it just doesn't happen like that. So, but can you just erase everything and start over? Like, I don't think that's possible at the moment. So all those steps, it kind of like, it helps get people recognized and it helps make more space for people. Because, I mean, I know, like, with Burning House, like, I didn't win. I was just nominated. Nobody really remembers, like, who does or doesn't. But getting involved.
Unless you do.
Unless you're the person that wins. But if you're involved even as a nominee, which this now opens up more nominees, right?
Yeah.
It affects your ability to go tour. It affects your next record, probably your next advance. So it opening up is huge. I also think I was working kind of with the Diversity Inclusion Task Force during like the post-Me Too movement with the Grammys, and they were kind of like trying to figure out next steps because the guy who had been running it said something that was a mistake, obviously, it was those times. And everybody was talking about like at that time, like in the years following, I remember Kanye had made like a Christian gospel album, and everybody in that industry was just beside themselves. We've been here working this whole time, and now someone from another genre who takes up a lot of air in the room is here. And it was a similar thing, like, what does that mean? You don't want people making different kinds of music ever? Or like, how do you manage people, artists that are going to make all kinds of music?
Yeah, creative people who are inspired by loads of different things. It never seems to work the other way, though, does it? Like,
What does that mean?
If like a country artist becomes a pop star, like nobody's like, Taylor Swift, how dare you come into pop music?
Yeah, although I do feel like I think they said it maybe, I think it's because pop is just the popular across all genres, right? So it just, when you're in your smaller niches, that's where I think
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, Morgan Wallen being a huge hit kind of cross genre, nobody's belly aching about that.
Yeah, because who's the gatekeeper of
everything? Yeah, because pop is so broad, I suppose. Yeah. I guess it does come down to kind of, not niche in the classic sense, but like specialized categories or whatever you want to call
it. Well, I think it's like you're saying how we've been talking about, it's because they originate culturally from spots that were so like identifiers, you know, of who you are culturally in your community, which some of those are good identifiers, some of them are not helpful anymore. But that decides your in-group and your out-group.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that makes a lot of sense culturally why a lot of people feel like they want to protect it, you know.
Yeah.
Just kind of like how even on this album, All Things Light, I'm talking about God. And I think there's people who feel protective of how you can say God.
Oh, for sure.
And even though I have really religious friends across multiple religions who love that song. And I have atheist friends who love that song. And I think I'm trying to speak about something from a human level and a soul level and a spiritual level that I think is for everyone. I want, when I'm using the word God and I'm saying, I think the divine in me can recognize the divine in you, I think that's a very human thing to say. And it's not meant to be inflammatory. It's meant to be, spiritual without setting off those
or
things.
Or celebratory.
Yeah, celebratory. But you can't help that in some spaces it puts people's guards up. They have their own rules that they want to use and remember. And I'll do mine and they do theirs. And hopefully we all can make it through the day.
We're talking to Cam. The new album, All Things Light, is out today. We love the album. I mean, Alchemy, we've been playing for ages.
Yahoo!
It was a spotlight song for me for a week, and then now it was record of the week, and now it's just part of the fabric of
Yay.
What we play here. And I love that it helps kind of broaden out what country music is, and I think that this album will do that as well. But I think also that a lot of people might listen to this album and not even think about the genre, which probably is the ultimate goal, right?
It is, yeah. I think that's where we're headed, personally.
Yeah.
That's where I'm headed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where listeners are at. Everybody grew up listening to everything at this point. I don't know anyone who lives only in one. And
I mean, I grew up in the deep South, and of course we had country, but we were also listening to hip-hop and pop and rock and metal and all the rest of it. So it always makes sense to me when a country artist has other influences in those songs. Because I'm like, well, even though I grew up in East Tennessee, we didn't just have country music.
Yes.
We had a lot of things.
Exactly. And like one of my favorite artists of all time are the Indigo Girls.
Oh,
and I think they would call themselves folk, but I think they're like super country.
Well, they are super country. I mean, they have a great song called Country Radio or something.
Oh, yeah. It just came out. Yeah.
And you know, growing up, they were like the alt kids. That's what we were all listening to.
Love alt.
Yeah.
Like, what is alt now? I can't quite tell, but I love alt. If you want to call
me alt,
call me alt.
I don't know what it is now, but like growing up, I certainly knew what it was. And
like Alanis Morissette was alt. And Nirvana was alt.
Yeah, and 10,000 Maniacs were alt.
Yes.
And REM was alt.
I feel like we were just saying
The Cure
maybe
was alt.
It's, yeah,
you know,
maybe
like,
it's not 100% pop. It's kind of like maybe what we're
Red
talking
Hot Chili
about.
Red Hot Chili Peppers were alt as well. Like, I mean, what is alt now? I don't know. But certainly then, you knew it when you heard it.
Yes.
Kind of like country. You know it when you hear it, even if you can't kind of define exactly what it is. We have to talk about the last time that you were here, when you saved the Long Road Festival. thank you for that. But also, going back to the love affair that the UK has with you, one of the things that I was obviously delighted about, but also so relieved about, was that when you replaced John Party at the last minute.
Thanks for that call.
Thank you for answering.
You bet. Anytime there's a last minute flight to the UK, you call me.
It was very last minute. But, you know, as an organizer, when you go through something like that, it's obviously hugely stressful.
Yes.
And when you said yes, knowing how much the UK loves you, of course, but at the same time, I was like, God, you know, all these people have bought tickets for Party. What's the response?
Oh, I was nervous about that too, because
we sold more tickets. We sold out because of you. And people were literally so the excitement online when we announced that you were the replacement.
And I was so worried that, like you're saying, you buy a ticket for a different artist. It doesn't feel, of course, it's not fair. Everyone feels like, oh, it's not fair. So you're like, okay, I'm going to get up there. I'm going to get beer cans thrown at me. How's this going to go? And it was one of the most magical nights of my life, because I felt like I put my pants on to like, I keep trying not to swear. I'm going to effing work. I was like, I got to show up and put on a great show, because they are here for me, but they're also, you know, it's like a shared kind of thing. And so I just, I can't get over how beautiful that was. That was
so
magical.
Fun.
And
people still talk to me about it.
Aww.
Like it was such a moment for people's lives.
Me too.
Which is such a glorious thing. It's the whole reason, you know, one of the reasons I'm sure that you do what you do, one of the reasons for putting on something like a festival is like creating these like life moments and these communal events.
Yes.
And that truly was that because of you.
Know.
So thank you for that.
Of
Just
course.
Before
thank
I let you,
for
you
having
go,
me.
Let's talk about the Grand Ole Opry for a minute.
Yeah.
Because it's
sure.
100th anniversary mm-hmm. this year. When I was over for CMA Fest, you did a special little hey
yes.
y'all,
yeah.
which was glorious. But you made your debut in 2015. Do you remember that show like it was yesterday?
I can't remember
or
that.
Or was it a blur?
No, I'm just teasing. Yes, of course I remember my grandpa was there. He was so excited. He was picking up the label people and bear hugging them. He was a very large human. He was very tall. And, like, my parents were there, and, I mean, yeah, I was so nervous. I think my heel, one of those first times, got stuck
in the
old wood in the circle. And it was just...
Those are part of cam in that circle.
Yeah,
now,
right?
Too.
Now I've left my mark, literally. But it's just down the road from my house, so it's I almost, like, not that I take it for granted, but it's just like, oh, I get to pop down. It's so easy,
yeah.
you know? And then it's such a sweet thing to show up there and get to see everybody. And you're running into everybody backstage, you know, because it's just like a little hang. And, like, Catch from Old Crow was back there. And it was just like, oh, hey, how's it going? You know, you just – it's such a nice time to be able to see everybody. And, yeah, 100 years of that. I can't believe that. And then 10 years – for me, it feels like, ugh, the pandemic kind of robbed us of a good 5 years. But I got into music late, in my opinion. Like, I did music as a kid and learned it, but nobody was like, that's a real job. So
right.
I didn't think that was a real thing I could do. So until I was 24, then I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. Like, I was doing psychology research and working in labs and stuff. And I was like, nope, my sister's like, you're good at it. Who's so lucky to be good at something they love so much? Like, why would you not give it a shot? So I did, and it didn't take that long, honestly, to then have – it felt like I have conflicted feelings about it because it was so fast for Burning House to, like, happen.
Yeah.
It's like – like, I wasn't – I almost have these, like, weird feelings, like, did I earn it? Did I earn it enough? You know? Does anyone have that imposter thing?
I heard something the other day where people were like, people always say, did I earn it? Mm-hmm. Did I work hard enough to get it? The real question should be, do I want it?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely wanted that kind of connection with people and that kind of impact and with something that was so personal. I was almost embarrassed to sing it in the beginning.
Right.
And that... I'm so thankful because I do know people who have really hit songs that they hate singing over and over.
Yeah.
I'll never get sick of singing that song. It brings tears to my eyes and tears to other people's eyes. I live for that exact vibe. But I do think here I am 10 years later and this album, All Things Light, I feel like me about myself, I finally feel like I am proficient at what I would like to be doing, which that sounds so silly because obviously everything else was great and wonderful, but you always have this like expectation of what you're trying to achieve and there's a distance, you know,
yeah.
because you're still learning your craft and I just feel like I finally landed in it like, oh, I know how to paint, you know, and like I'm getting to paint exactly what's in my mind.
Well, thank you for bringing us all along with you.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks for all the songs throughout the years in this wonderful album, All Things Light, which is out today. There's going to be songs on this that become the soundtrack to people's lives.
Yeah.
Just the same as so many of your other songs, whether it's Burning House or Diane, which is still an absolute bop.
Thank God.
And all things in between. Are you coming back?
I will definitely be back. Yes, yes, yes.
We
yes.
can't wait. Cam, it's always a joy. It's always a pleasure.
So nice to see you.
You too. Have fun in the UK. Do you have a favorite pub? Do you have somewhere that you always have to go? Are you like, I've got to go
I like walking through the park. I'm obsessed
Which
with
park?
Hyde Park. Just
A park.
No, Hyde Park.
Oh, Hyde Park.
I like A Park. No, I like the Italian gardens of Hyde Park. I'm really into that little bloop. And then, I haven't met a pub I don't like, so right. maybe we'll put it that way.
There you go. You're practically British. See you next time.
Yeah, thanks. See you soon.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all. So don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters. And we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.